I do want to spend just a few moments in the Word as we're talking about this being the year of unleashed harvest. Say unleashed harvest. And I want to just kind of take the thought, your harvest leads to His harvest. Your harvest leads to His harvest. The dynamic of the kingdom is one of multiplication. It's not just addition, it's multiplication. That one comes into the kingdom and that one individual wins many into the kingdom. It's a multiplication principle that's happening. It fits in with where the scripture says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. In the kingdom of God, it's exponential. Say exponential. And one of the things that Jesus was clear in sharing with the disciples was helping them and the people to understand not only what was available to them, but what would be required of them as they walked out their lives in the kingdom. It's in Matthew, the 5th chapter, when you read that, and you read starting at verse 1, he talks about the what we call the Beatitudes, and you may know some of them, but I don't want to read all of those. I want to get to the point where he gets to the point where he says this to them. After he has talked to them about attitudinal changes, that's what he's talking about there, adjustments in the way they think and helping them to understand, in my kingdom, this is the way you are to live your life. As a matter of fact, it says, pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you. He doesn't say get even with them. He says you need to pray for them. You need to pray for them. So what he's doing is he's shaping and he's shifting for them the way that they will need to live out their lives as kingdom residents. But it says this, it says, you are the salt of the earth. Now he's going on and giving them more description around their part. You are the salt of the earth. Say preservative. How many know that salt is a preservative? You can put salt on meat and things, and it'll help preserve it. So it's like he's saying, you are the preservative now in the earth. You're going to be the preservative in the earth. Says, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Then he says this, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Say illumination. Come on, say illumination. I believe as believers, I believe as residents of the kingdom, everywhere you and I show up, we should bring illumination. We should bring illumination that leads to revelation. Revelation leads to knowledge. Knowledge leads to experience. Illumination, revelation, knowledge, experience. Illumination. When you go into a dark room, what's the first thing you do? You find the light switch. When you turn on the light, what does it do? It illuminates the room. When it illuminates the room, it does what? It reveals the contents. Revelation. Once you have the revelation or the revealing of the contents, now you have the knowledge of what's in the room. It says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does any light of a lamp. It says, does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Then he says this, let your life shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your life shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your harvest leads to His harvest. Say, my harvest leads to His harvest. He goes on and says this, do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill it. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth are passed away, not the smallest little stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Now another version says, not a jot or tittle of the word will pass away. It will all be accomplished. It will all be accomplished. It says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments or the word and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of God. Now, let me just finish this point here. It goes on and says, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus is making it clear now that there is a place in the kingdom that you can operate and still not be at the fullness of what he intended. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. They're in it, but they're not where they're supposed to be. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses the scribes and the Pharisees, says you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Religion. Say religion. He's saying, except that you are able to move past what is already being lived out, there's a good chance you won't be able to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You see, all of what he was saying there in this particular passage, Matthew 5 and other passages, have to do with paradigm shift. And this is one of the points where he's making it clear. He says, whoever teaches this, but teaches it in a way that takes away from it. It says here, will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps it, teaches it, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I believe we will give an account for what we have taught that weakened the power and the effectiveness of the gospel. I believe there are many who will give an account for what they taught that weakened the effectiveness of the gospel, the message of the kingdom. This message is a message of life. It's a message of hope. It is a message of power. It's a message of demonstration. And there should be in the life of every believer a manifestation that you reside in the kingdom of God. There ought to be something different about you and I. On last week, you remember, played the song All Over You. Y'all remember, some of y'all were here for service. That song, All Over You. I shared that with Pastor Josh. He's got that recorded as well. And he said, man, I know that song by heart. It's just in me now. It's just. But when I hear that, it's the essence of who we are supposed to be. When I first saw you, I could see you were coming from a different point of view. What looked like mercy in your eyes shining through. Compassion like that isn't learned. It's got me asking questions in my mind. If new life is possible, I want to leave my old ways behind. Just see it on you. It's really humorous because we were at a graduation. We were at Cindy's graduation. Congratulations, Cindy. Stand, let everybody applaud you. She graduated last week. Hallelujah. With honors. Is that correct? It was with honors. Yeah. I know she looks 12, but she's not. But we were at the graduation and we saw some friends that we hadn't seen in a long time. And they came over and they were greeting us. And the one sister, she greeted Pastor Maurice and hugged her. And she looked at me. She said, what is it about him? What is it about him? She said, what is it about him? And Pastor Maurice said, well, I hope it's Jesus. I was like, glory. Bam. I was like, That's it. Yeah, I said to her, that's the song. hear me when I say this. It's okay for you to be okay with people seeing Jesus in you, recognizing Jesus, and you saying, it's Jesus. That's what you see. That's what you hear. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Your harvest leads to his harvest. Your harvest leads to his harvest. When the harvest of the kingdom, the harvest of the covenant is manifested in your life, in every area of your life, it will draw people to you. And you can point to the kingdom. You can point to him. It is our covenant right to be able to believe for this manifestation and demonstration in every area of our lives. Religion will keep you broke. Religion will keep you bound. I need about three or more of y'all to clap with the two that's clapping right now. Religion will keep you from ever coming into a place of abundance that God has intended. Religion will do that. That's why Jesus said, except that you're able to transcend the way that the scribes and Pharisees have written out this thing, your life will always stay at a low place. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. Doesn't mean you're not in the kingdom, but you're in that lesser place in the kingdom that I just read to you. Now, I'm not talking about big I's and little U's. I'm talking about getting things done. I'm talking about getting things done. And God knew when he called you, when he called me, when he called us, he knew what it would take to do what he called us to do. But it's up to you to live in that place of expectation. It's up to you to live in that place of anticipation. It's up to you to believe and have the courage to have the conversations, to have the courage to ask, to have the courage to keep going, to have the courage to keep stepping out, to have the courage to keep believing that even while you're waiting to see it come together, you are still resolute and firm in your faith that it is coming together. A couple weeks ago, we laid hands on Marsha and anointed her in this house. Last week or so, she called and gave me a praise report. Marsha, you want to share about it? Not yet. All right, that's all I'm going to say. Other than God is moving. God is moving. Now, I know you don't want to share just yet, but listen to me now. Sometimes people got to hear it in real time. So just keep that in mind. Hear me. Sometimes people need to hear it in real time. They need to hear it while you're walking it through. Not once it's all done. See, it takes just as much faith to share it in real time as it does once it's over. And now you know the deal is done and it's closed. And now we go, hallelujah. Listen, God moved in a... Well, let's... See, part of it is this. Part of it is this. In many of our faith camps, they tell you after the fact, but they don't tell you what they went through in the midst of it. So you and I are in the midst of it. We can't see the end of it. But if you just tell me what you went through and how it turned out, it may help me hold on and encourage me that it's going to turn out all right. Yeah, no pressure, Marsha. So what I'm saying to you is this. Our harvest leads to his harvest. God was so intent on things shifting the way he intended that when he began to establish relationship with man again, he made it clear, my intention is to bless you. My intention is to bless you, and that all who see you would know that you're blessed because you belong to me. In Genesis 1, Genesis 12, chapter 12, it says this, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from our country and from your relatives and from your father's house." Just say the familiar. Come on, say the familiar. Come on, I need you to say it with a little more conviction. The familiar. Okay, because some of you, your harvest is in the unknown, not the familiar. The reality of your harvest is not in the familiar. It's in the unknown. You got to be willing to go somewhere you've never gone before to see something you've never seen before. It's going to be in the unfamiliar. He says, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. To the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, I will bless you, I will bless you, and make your name great. It says, and so shall you be a blessing, and so shall you be a blessing. See, it's not just you being blessed. It's being blessed to be a blessing. Your harvest leads to his harvest. Your harvest leads to my harvest. Just look at somebody and say, come on, you got to get your stuff then. Your harvest leads to my harvest. Yeah. Your harvest led to my harvest. Yeah. Yeah. Led to our harvest. It says, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses will I curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How many of you are part of the family in the earth? That's all of us. That's all of us. He says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to others. And others will bless you. And then Abraham begins to walk out and receive that harvest. He receives his son Isaac. And then when Abraham passes on, now God moves the blessing to the next generation. He moves the blessing to the next generation. And that's why we would do well as adults and guardians to teach those who we have the responsibility of raising up to have expectation of inheritance in the kingdom of God. The best thing you can do is give your life to Christ, because there's an inheritance waiting for you. There's an inheritance waiting for you. Not just in the natural, but in the spirit. There's an inheritance that's waiting for you. There's a harvest that's waiting for you. So in Genesis 26, it says this in verse 1. It says, now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine which had occurred in the days of Abraham. Now, I've said this before, but it bears repeating. You have to recognize that there are things that seem to pass down or show up in generation after generation. I'm not talking about just sin nature. I'm talking about life conditions showing up. So this is where it says that there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Now, Isaac is walking out something very similar to his daddy. Famine in the land, King Abimelech. When you read that, you'll see he does the same thing. He tells his wife to lie, says his sister and all that kind of stuff too. It says, the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I will tell you. Sojourn in this land, says, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands. And it says this, and by your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. What is God saying? What God is saying and what God is doing there is he is staying true to his word. He's staying true to his word being, I have established my covenant with Abraham. I told him all the nations, all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. God watches over his word to perform it. He's watching over his word to perform it. He's watching over his word even now to perform it. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. You can just boil all that down that I just said there. He kept his word. Abraham kept his word. God kept his word. Abraham kept his word. God kept his word. One of the things that I believe needs to be broken off of many in the body of Christ is the mentality that if I just have enough to get by, I'm okay. If I just have enough to pay my bills, I'm okay. That's not the best life. That's not God's best life. It is a life, and it may be a kingdom life, but it's not the best life. It's not the life of abundant harvest that allows God to use you to bless others and bring in his harvest. See, your harvest leads to his harvest. Our harvest leads to his harvest. That's why every time you get a promotion, every time you get a raise, every time you get an increase, every time you get funds coming to you, you really do want to pause and say, God, how would you have me steward this? Because our increase, our harvest should lead to his harvest. And there's nothing wrong with believing for it. There's nothing wrong with talking about it. There's nothing wrong with planning for it. A lot of times we see in the body of Christ those that have launched out, I'm talking about in their faith, to gather resources, to get things done. And then you have critical people in the church and in the world who want to come up against them. I was seeing a YouTube clip recently of a teacher. I'm not going to say his name, but a profound word of faith teacher. One we've partnered with for years, and the ministry has helped countless thousands, millions come into the kingdom. And I remember years ago when we had a prison ministry back in Columbus, Ohio, it was his ministry that supplied us with our materials that we took into the prisons. All we had to do was call them. They validated that we were a bona fide ministry and said, what do you need? Well, we need books. We need Welcome to the Family pamphlets. We need these things. And they shipped them to us on a regular basis. All we had to do was let them know we're getting ready to go into these prisons. And they would send us those materials over and over and over and over. And folks want to get upset because they fly around on a plane. I'm talking about this small thinking. And so I'm looking at this video clip where one of these television programs kind of run up on him with, you know, the reporter. He was gracious enough to stop and talk. Now, had it been me, I'd have got on in the car. No, I'm just telling you, I'd have got on in the car. I'm going somewhere. Look, I ain't got time for this. But he stopped and he began to talk. Listen to her. Now, I'm listening to this exchange, but I caught something she said that goes back to this statement right here. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus isn't saying they're not in the kingdom. That should be called least in the kingdom. Because here's something that you really do need to recognize. God is expecting you to maximize his word in your life. He is expecting you to hold him accountable for his word in your life. He is expecting you to place a demand on his word, a demand on the covenant. You, not me for you. Because he will back up his word every time. He will honor his covenant to the nth degree. And God would that we would break this religious mindset and move into a kingdom perspective so that we can receive harvest in order to receive his harvest. It takes money. It takes money to do mission work. It takes money to go to the nations. It takes resources to reach the nations. And I heard this reporter say to him, well, you know, my both of my grandfathers were preachers. Both of my grandfathers were preachers. They were poor. They loved God. And they served God all their lives. And that was good enough for them. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that. What would you say about that? He honored them. Thank God. I praise God for their service in the body of Christ. I praise God for their service. But see, the problem with it, that exchange, unless you surpass, your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can be born again, you're in the kingdom of God, but never know it because you stayed stuck in the place of religion and never transcended to the relationship that opened up the vast expanse of his kingdom. Is this making sense to you? Now I'm gonna wrap this up for now. So when I saw that clip, I just prayed. I said, Lord, help him. They've been under such scrutiny for so many years. But I know the integrity of the ministry because I've been there on more than one occasion. I've been there. I sat in the seats. I shook his hand. I talked to him. I talked to his wife. I know what they sold into Ayers Ministries in the early years to make sure we had the resources that we needed. He can drive anything he wants to drive. And then when she began to question him about his resources in the ministry, he said, I'm a wealthy man. You know, it's okay to say that in the right setting. I'm a wealthy man. She said, you didn't know there's oil on my land. You didn't know that, did you? She said, no, I didn't know that. No, you didn't know that. She said, I'm wealthy. But that religious spirit was trying to keep him down, bring into question what he was doing, what God has done through him to reach and touch the nations. And I'm telling you, I have great disdain for a spirit of religion and tradition, and will do everything possible to bring it down. I know religion because I've lived it. I know it when I see it. Religion makes everybody else wrong and them right. Nobody's living like we live it. We're the ones with the standard. That's why we're so few. You need to know that's a lie of the devil. I'm not happy that I see so many empty seats in here. And you'll never hear me say, well, y'all, you know, we the ones holding up the standard. Well, no, that ain't it. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. We've yet to let folks know we're here, but we will. But when they come, we must be ready. Genesis 26, 12, it says, now Isaac sold in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Very wealthy. For he had possessions and flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe some of that shine should be in seeing the blessings of God evidenced in your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your harvest leads to his harvest. We are in a season of unleashed harvest. We are in a season of God releasing harvest in our lives personally, and we're in a season of God releasing his harvest and then requiring you and I to go and glean and bring in that harvest. So this last passage of scripture, I want to connect this for us. God establishes his covenant with Abraham. Then it passes down to Isaac, then to Jacob, and down through the generations. Through the redemptive work of Christ, we have been redeemed, and we now are recipients of that covenant. So in Galatians chapter 3, this is the last passage, verse 6, it says, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. That's a powerful statement, because what that says is God was looking out over all of time, and he saw you, and he saw me, he saw us. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. So those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. The writer is saying you can't live by the law or under the law and by faith at the same time. Right. However, it says this, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Then it says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. You recognize that the law was in place in order to govern behavior. That's all. The law was in place to govern behavior. It doesn't transform the heart. But once Christ came, that law that was written on tablets now became written in our hearts. So now we no longer live out of a place of law. We live out of a place of relationship. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. Here we go. In order that, I'm skipping this one in parentheses because that was added. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What is the promise? Well, go back up. The promise is the promise he made to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed in you. That's the promise. That's the right that you and I have in God. And it's going to be not only that revelation, but it's going to be the walking it out now that's going to make a difference, not only in your harvest, but in the harvest of the world. We are here as salt and light. We are here as salt and light. You are here as salt and light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are salt and we are light. And it's time for us to be just that. Would you thank the Lord for his word?